pass over here on Vav Med Aleph that Chatzitzin, which the Gemara initially claimed on Ham and Beis, is a halacha l'moish Mi-Sinai. The Gemara asked that it's really not a halacha l'moish Mi-Sinai. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Similar to what the Gemara asked previously regarding Shiurim, Gemara is asking over here regarding Chatzitzin, what is considered to be a Chatzitza for Tefillah. So the Gemara says, Deiraisen inu, Dechsei v'rachas, v'rachas es besara b'mayim. The Gemara initially quotes from the pasuk in Parashas Metzora, v'rachas es besara b'mayim v'toher, that he should wash his body in water. Shlo yehei davar chaytetz b'nun l'b'n amayim. There shouldn't be anything that's interrupting, that's impeding his ability for the water to touch his body. So don't you see chatzitza the dimidai raisa? So Gemara explains ki asai hilchos alu saaroi for his hair. The Rabbi Bar Chana, Dama Rabbi Bar Chana, Neima Achas Kshura Chatzetzes. If you have one hair that's tied in a knot, you know, one hair could be tied in a knot. If you make a single knot within the hair, so then that's going to be very tight. So then that's Chatzetzes. Shalosh, if it's three hairs tied together, Einan Chatzetzes, because it's not tight. Shtayim, any idea? If it's two tied together, it's unclear if it's tight enough to be a chatzitza. But either way, the halacha l'moish Mi-Sinai is coming to include a chatzitza in the hair. So Gemara asked, but that's also a dimidairaisa. Sarah nami dairaisa ninu. The Sivaracha says, Besar b'mayim. The pasuk says, you should wash your body in the water. Es besarai, es hatafalu besarai. Es comes to include that which is negligible to your skin, to your body, and that is your hair. My nihu sa'arai. So your hair is also a dimidai raisa. So Gemara explains, ki asoy hechasa, okay, so we know chatzitza is a dimidai raisa, both with your body and with your hair. So what then is the halacha l'moish Mi-Sinai coming to include with the Rebbe Yitzchak? The Amar Rebbe Yitzchak, Dvar Torah Ruboi Umakvel Ovav Chatzitz. If it's a majority of your body is covered, and you would normally be makvel to remove that item that's covering your body, then it's a chatzitza. What if it's she'enoy makbid alav, eno chaytetz? And if it would not be, if it was a rug of your body, and you're not careful to remove it, it's not something that bothers you, so then that would not be a chatzitza. V'gazer al ruba she'enoy makbid mishum ruba ha-makbid, v'amiyuto ha-makbid mishum ruba ha-makbid. Even though midday rise is the only chatzitza, again, this is based on halacha l'moish Mi-Sinai. Again, we know that there's an institution of chatzitza on your body and on your hair. That's a dimidai raisa. Berachas es b'sara b'mayim. Your body has to be washed in the water. Es b'sara, that includes hatafel b'sara, even your hair, which is negligible to your body. But we don't know what the shear is. What is considered to be a chatzitza? That's derived from the halacha l'moish Mi-Sinai, which is the teaching of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak taught us that if it's rubai umakbid, that's a chatzitza. Most of your body, and you're careful to remove it. If it's miut hamakbid, a minority part of the body, or rubai ve'enoy makbid, a majority, and you're not careful to remove it, that's not a chatzitza, but midrabanan, they consider them to be chatzitza, atu, because that might lead to a roivu makbid. So either a miut, if you have one of these two qualities, either it's roiv, or it's makbid, then we have a problem, midrabanan. Midai Raisa, the halacha l'moish Mi-Sinai teaches us, it's only if it has both, roiv u'makbid. So the Gemara asks, if we're making zeros, why don't we take it even further? Any chatzitza bechlau, even if it's a miut, a minority, ve'enoy makbid, it has neither quality. Let us include it in this large gzera. Ve'ligzer nami a miutoy she'enoy makbid, mishu miutoy ha-makbid. Maybe we should extend the gzera one step further. Once we're going to say, miut hamakbid is aser, is considered to be a chatzitza midrabanan because it might lead to roiv umakbid. So let's say miut ve'enoy makbid, a minority part of the body. Even if you're not careful to remove it, it might lead you to a minority part of the body where you are careful to remove it. So the Gemara says that's too far. That's too much. Mishum miut hamakbid, inami, mishum rubai she'enoy makbid. Or let's include miut ve'enoy makbid because of a roiv ve'enoy makbid. One might lead to the other. He goof a gzera v'ana nikum and nigzer gzera l'gzera. No, those themselves are only midrabanan. Roiv v'eino makbid, or miut, and makbid only midrabanan. And we can't make a gzera l'gzera, even though sometimes we do have two derabanans that come in conjunction with one another, and it's not mutter. For example, riding up in an elevator, pushing a button in an elevator, if it's only a LED button, might only be an Issa Midrabanan. You're not creating a fire. Electricity we generally treat as an Issa Midrabanan. and asking an achri to do a malacha for you on Shabbos might only be us and midrabanan. It is only us and midrabanan. You might come to do it yourself. So do we say it's mutter every time I ask a nachri to do a malacha midrabanan for me on Shabbos that becomes heter gamur? No, that's still aser. That's called shvus to shvus, a double derabanan or trade derabanan. That happens all the time. That's different than gzeira l'gzeira. Gzeira l'gzeira is because that's different because those two isurim derabanan exist independently. The idea that I'm not allowed to ask an achri to do a malacha for me applies both to malachas deraisa as well as malachas derabanan. The idea that something is asim derabanan, electricity is asim derabanan, exists whether I ask an achri to do it for me or not. So since the two exist independently, sometimes their circles of influence overlap with one another, and that's called the trade derabanan, and that appears throughout all of halacha. A gzera l'gzera is something different. A gzera l'gzera is the whole only time this second derabanan could ever have any relevance is if it's we already assume one is Issa Midrabanan. Since we're assuming Miut Ve'eno Makbid, or Miut Hamakbid, or Roiv Ve'eno Makbid, or Chatzitza, which itself is on Midrabanan, we can't now extend that and say, well, let's say that a Miut Ve'eno Makbid is also because it might lead to a Roiv Ve'eno Makbid or a Miut Hamakbid, which because those themselves are only derabanan. So since the whole issue you're concerned about is only derabanan, we can't establish a derabanan to protect the derabanan. But amiru and achri is to protect the deraisa. I might come to do the malacha myself if I'm allowed to ask an achri to do it for me. And anisim derabanan of, let's say, riding with your left hand is also on Shabbos because you might come to ride with your right hand on Shabbos. Or doing a malacha with the back of your hand is also because you might come to do it with the front of your hand. So kalachar yad is only asim derabanan on Shabbos, the back of your hand or your elbow, but if you might come to do it normally. So since those each are protecting nisim deraisa, they have a legitimacy independently, even though sometimes they overlap. But here, the whole issue that you're trying to protect is derabanan. That's called gzera l'gzera.
Isn't not like chicken and cheese though more of a double derabanan to eat them together?
Chicken is only asim because it might lead to bizarre. You're saying chicken is bizarre.
Why is it bizarre? Together, but then we add that it's even to eat them together. Then we say even.
But again,
chicken,
so. But again, they each exist independently. Eating once we decide to treat chicken like meat, midrabanan, and once we say that you're not allowed to not only cook meat and milk together, you're not allowed to eat them together, midrabanan. So then the two sometimes overlap, but each exists independently of each other. Here, the only kiyum for miut, the only justification for miut, v'yeno makbid, is to safeguard an issa derabanan. That's called gzera l'gzera. I think Mar says we're not in the practice of, we have a hard enough time getting the gzeras through, we're not going to start now. With gzeras l'gzeras, that's too much. Okay, so what did we have? What emerges is, it's a very important sugya of chatzitza, is that there's a din midrashah of chatzitza based on the pasuk. V'rachas es besara b'mayim, your body has to come in contact with the water, even your hair. As besara hatafel besara, there can't be something that's interrupting that tefillah, something that's in the way, a chatzitza. But we didn't know how much. So until Rabbi Yitzchak came along and he told us midrashah roiv umakbid, majority of the body, and you're careful to remove it. Midrabanan roiv ve'eno makbid or miut hamakbid. That's what emerges. What would have been, though, if we didn't have the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai? Meaning, what did we think before Rabbi Yitzchak came along? What did we think? Did we think, well, before Rabbi Yitzchak came along, we had a pasuk in the Torah that told us, V'rachas es besara b'mayim. You can't have a chatzitza on your body or on your hair. What did we think that meant? Until Rabbi Yitzchak came along and he told us it's only roiv u'makbid, what did we think before then? So the Tais HaRosh discusses that issue. A Mesechtas Ervin. Where's it? Look over here at Ois Beis. Tais HaRosh writes, Hava Mina. I would have thought, Kuloi. In order to be a chatzitza, it has to cover your whole body. V'osai hilchasa v'gar isei v'ukma aruba. Usually, halach l'maish misinai comes to diminish something. As we'll see in Mir Hashem, the continuation of Vavim Beis. Midaraisa, we have a source for three walls of a sukkah or four walls of a sukkah, and halacha l'moshe m'Sinai comes to decrease the number either to two in a tefach or three in a tefach. Halacha l'moshe m'Sinai usually comes to decrease something. So Tais HaRosh says, I would have thought, in order to be a chatzitza, it has to cover your whole body. And Rabbi Yitzchak came and he told me, no, even if it's roiv umakbid, that's also a chatzitza. So he's coming to really be machmir, and include additional chatzitzas, but shrink to decrease what is considered to be a chatzitza. So in that case, the halacha of Moshe Messina is not coming to be makol, but to decrease something, to decrease what is considered to be a chatzitza. I would have thought kulai. Halacha of Moshe Messina comes to tell me roiv umakbit. And there is support for this from a Gemara Maseches Yevamos. Rabbi said, look at this Gemara over here, always Gimel. A nachris me'uberes. You have a pregnant Gentile woman who wants to convert. So she's going to convert. She's going to, you know, geirus for a woman really subsists of two parts. She has to accept to be religious, you know, Jewish. Jewish doesn't mean to march in a parade. Jewish means that you subscribe to the Torah and the mitzvahs. So she has to, number one, agree to the Torah and the mitzvahs. Number two, she has to go into a mikvah. That's the whole tefillah for her. That's the whole geirus. So nachris muberish in his geira, benoy netzarach tefillah. Now her son is born. Now this child was conceived when she was a Gentile. So that's a whole discussion that's beyond the scope of our topic today, which is, does a person's status as a Jew, is that determined at the time of conception or at the time of when the person comes into the world, when the baby is delivered? So are we dealing with a Gentile fetus or a Jewish fetus? Good question, but not for now. So the Gemara says, though, Nachris Muberishin is Gaira Benoy Netzarach Tefillah. Her child does not require Tefillah. The assumption now is because he's Yoytze in her Tefillah. He's also converting, but he's converting along with her. Even though he was conceived as a Gentile, let's assume for the moment that that renders him a Gentile, he can convert along with her. Benoy Netzarach Tefillah, so he's Yoytze with her Tefillah. Amai Netzarach Tefillah. Why doesn't he need a tefillah? Meaning when he's born. When he's born, child's born, should he require a tefillah or not? The Gemara says, no, he doesn't need one. V'chi teven mishum de Rabbi Yitzchak, d'am Rabbi Yitzchak, d'var Torah rubo makbid of chaytetz, rubo she'eno makbid of eno chaytetz. Would you consider the mother to be makbid or eno makbid? We're looking at the fetus, assessing his tefillah in the mikvah, inside of the mother. So it's kulai, he's entirely covered, not just right, but is he makbid on the mother or not makbid on the mother? I would say, ain't no makbid. He doesn't want to remove the mother. If he removes the mother, he's going to be in big trouble. So he's right now, ain't no makbid. So, oh, you know why the tefillah works? Why does the tefillah work? Because it's roiv. But ain't no makbid. What did Rabbi Yitzchak teach us? What's considered to be a chatzitza? Roiv. Ooh, makbid. This is ain't no makbid. So Gemara says, maybe it's like Rabbi Yitzchak. Dabar toy, rubo makbid of chaytzitz. Rubo she ain't no makbid of, ain't no chaytzitz. So Gemara says, no, that can't be. Vamar of kahana was shonu el the rubai. The only time you need makbid is if it's roiv. Aval kuloi chaytzeitz. If it's your whole body, then it's chaytzeitz, even if you're not makbid. Now that implies that Rabbi Yitzchak's teaching only relates to roiv, because kuloi we knew from the pasuk in the Torah. Meaning the pasuk in the Torah that told us, V'rachas es besaro b'mayim, that you're not allowed to have a chatzitza, that we knew meant kuloi. Kuloi is obvious. Even if you're not makbid, I don't need Rabbi Yitzchak to teach me that. That's the pasuk in the Torah, Barashas Mitzayro. That's a chatzitza with or without Rabbi Yitzchak. What did Rabbi Yitzchak come to teach me? An additional halacha. Even if it's not kuloi, if it's roiv and makbid, that's a chatzitza. But kuloi, even if you're not makbid, is a chatzitza. That we knew even before Rabbi Yitzchak. Then the Gemara goes on to say, why indeed is the child yoytze with the tefillah of the mother? Because of a different principle. Shaini uber dahainu rabise. The child cannot exist. It's natural for the child to be in the mother. Anything that's natural, or you need, let's say, for medicinal purposes, a big machlek is how to interpret this, hainu rabise, either because it's natural or because the child needs the mother. It could be interpreted in many different ways. But because the child needs to be inside of the mother, that's his natural position right now, the mother is not considered to be a chatzitza, hainu rabise. He needs it in order to live, so it's not a chatzitza. But either way, what do you see from this Gemara? Kulai, we don't need Rabbi Yitzchak to teach us that. Kula, we knew based on the pasuk that was considered to be a chatzitza. So that's what the Tosfos Rosh suggests. Havamina kulai, and the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai comes to teach us an additional chiddush to lower the standard of what's considered to be a chatzitza, or to what you need to be a chatzitza. But really, a chumra though, that even if it's not kulai, if it's roiv and makbid, that's a chatzitza midaraisa. Roiv ve'eno makbid, miut hamakbid, chatzitza midarabana. But then the Tosfos Rosh goes on and suggests a different possibility. Ukai gavna arminim besuka, asai hilchasa gar'ise l'shlishis v'ukmei atafach. Then this would follow the pattern of the Gemara in Sukkah and Vavim Abayis, that we knew you needed three walls, and then Halacha Moshe Mesinai decreased it to 2.5 hafs. So to over here, we thought it was kulai. The Halacha Moshe Mesinai decreased what is considered to be a chatzitza to roiv and makbid, but of course kulai we knew the whole time. But the Taisa Rashi asks for kashuli. The imken havile lemeimar ki asay hilchasa lekulai ulerubai velame hiskele miutoi. Look at Rabbi Yitzchak. The Gemara says the Halacha Moshe Mesinai is coming for Rubai and Miutai. So why does it say that? It should have just said it's coming L'Rubai. Rubai is Halacha Moshe Mesinai, not Miutai. V'niel L'Farish, Ilav Hilchasa, so he suggests a different possibility. Ilav Hilchasa, we're not for the Halacha Moshe Mesinai, have Amina Afilu Miut She'eno Makbid. No, the other extreme. What would I have thought? Any little covering you have on your body, Chatzitza. That makes sense. It makes sense. You know why? Why would I have thought any little thing you have in your body is not considered to be a chatzitza? The ba'inan kol b'sar b'mayim. Let's say a person goes into the mikvah and he leaves his pinky finger out. He thinks he's doing hagba. No, sir. I don't know where this is. Okay, he thinks he's doing hagba. So he has his little pinky finger sticking out. I don't know what the source for that is. But okay, he has his pinky finger sticking out. Says it yaitse. Do you say, well, drive? Ruba kakuloi. No, we don't say that. You need your entire body to be immersed in the mikvah. That's based on a pasuk, also in Parashas Metzora, but a different pasuk with regards to Baal Keri. The Gemara there in Masechta Zeirvin actually quotes this pasuk and not the Gemara, the pasuk that we have in our Gemara in Sukkah. Fascinating. Why do they quote a different pasuk? But either the Gemara Masechta Zeirvin quotes from the pasuk, V'rachatz b'mayim esko b'saray. You have to wash all your flesh. Doesn't say that in our pasuk. That's a pasuk elsewhere, etc. So Gemara says, "Kol b'sar b'mayim shekol gufo alaben." Your whole body has to be in the mikveh at once. If your little pinky finger is out, that's no good. So you know what I would have said without Rabbi Yitzchak? I would have said, "V'racha says b'sar b'mayim." You have to put your whole body in the water. You can't have a chatzitza. You know why you can't have a chatzitza? Because if you have any old chatzitza, that's like that part of the body is out of the mikvah. If I'm wearing a thimble over my pinky, that's like, or a little glove over this part, you know, or a glove, plastic glove on my hand, that's like my hand. It's not in the mikvah. It might as well be sticking out. In which case, that's not a chatzitza is a problem because there's no bias mayim. It's not in the mikvah at all. Even a miut. And what does the bitzah come to that? So, wow, that's, you know, that's severe. Any chatzitza is like you're out of the mikvah. And what does Rabbi Yitzchak come to do? Teach us a kula. Just like by sukkah, the Halacha Moshe Mesinai is a kula. It takes three walls and shrinks it to 2.5 hafs. So to Rabbi Yitzchak is telling us not to shrink what's considered to be a chatzitza, which is really a chumrah. He's telling us to be meiko and hochas chatzitza. You thought even a miut is a chatzitza? No, no, no. It's only if it's roiv and makbid. You thought, I would have thought, a miut v'yeno makbid, a little thing on your thing, band-aid, chatzitza. No, he comes to teach us that it's only if it's a roiv u'makbid. V'nir li l'farish, ilav hilchasa, hab amina afil miut she'eno makbid, deba'inan kol b'sar b'mayim. You need all your body in the water. V'achse hilchasa l'hokel, v'ukma ruba davka makbid. It's only a roiv u'makbid, dumi d'sukkah de'hilchasa l'hokel. Just like by sukkah, the halach l'mash misina is a kula, here too, it's a kula. That's the Taisa Rosh suggests a different shot in what I would have thought without this. The big difference will be, okay, so Rabbi, so we have two possibilities. What would I have thought before Rabbi Yitzchak? We have a pasuk, V'racha says b'saro b'mayim, or the pasuk in the Gemara in Erevin, V'racha says b'mayim eskol b'saro, but by Balkeri, not by Mitzera. Also in Parshas Mitzera, but by Balkeri, not a Mitzera. That you have to wash your whole body. You can't have a chatzitza that's interrupting between you and the waters of the mikvah. So we knew based on the pasuk, it's a din d'oraisa. Rav Yitzchak came to tell us that it's only roiv u'makbid mid'oraisa, roiv einu makbid miut ha-makbid mid'rabbanan. What did I think before Rav Yitzchak? The first opinion of Taisa Rosh is, I thought it's only if it's kulai. Your whole body, Rav Yitzchak is machmir, even if it's roiv and makbid. Or the other possibility of Taisa Rosh is, I would have thought, even a little bit, because you're out of the mikvah. And Rabbi Yitzchak comes to teach me, no, you're not, it's only if it's rival makbid. The difference will be, now that we have Rabbi Yitzchak, what's the pshat? Why does Rabbi Yitzchak hold that it's only Roiv u'Makbid? What if it's Miut v'Eino Makbid? So we said, well, Roiv v'Eino Makbid, Miut ha'Makbid is all us midrabban, chatzitza midrabban. But what is not a chatzitza? What's not a chatzitza at all? Miut v'Eino Makbid. Okay, a person has a little thing on their hand. Miut v'Eino Makbid, it's not a chatzitza. Why? 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 What would you have said? Why? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, "I'm Vava Mebeis." V'gazu aruba shein o makbid. No, ain makbid olav. If it's not makbid olav, havele kegufe. Third line, why does Rashi say something you're not makbid on, or miut v'eino makbid is not a chatzitza? Rashi says because it's batel to your body. Meaning Rashi is bothered, Rashi's assuming that the problem is that that this item is considered to be foreign to the body. If the chatzitza is foreign to the body, now perhaps part of your body is out of the mikvah. And Rashi comes to tell you why, because I have, instead of my skin touching the water, I have my glove touching the water. So the reason why that's not considered to be a chatzitza post Rabbi Yitzchak, it's only if it's Roiv u'Makbid. Well, why isn't the glove a chatzitza l'maaseh? So the answer is because the glove is batel to your body. And therefore, the glove becomes part of your body. So your hand is not considered to be out of the mikvah because the glove is in the mikvah. Even though your hand is not, the glove is, and the glove is batel to your body because it's only a miut, and you don't care if it's there. That's one possibility. The other possibility could be that chatzitza never meant that you were out of the mikvah in the first place. The first pshat in the Tais HaRosh held that without Rabbi Yitzchak, we would have thought you needed a chatzitza bekulai in order to be a problem. If it's roiv, even if it's roiv and mak, but I would have thought that that's not a problem. So obviously, the first opinion of the Tais HaRosh is assuming chatzitza is not that if you have a chatzitza, you're out of the mikvah. L'maaseh, I'm in the mikvah. What are you talking about? Just because I have a glove on my hand, I'm out of the mikvah? I'm in the mikvah. The waters aren't touching my hand, but my hand is submerged within the mikvah. Does tefillah of the mikvah mean the waters of the mikvah have to be touching every part of my body, or that I'm submerged underneath the water? L'maaseh, I'm submerged underneath the water. The fact that all my body is not touching the water doesn't matter. What that halakha that your whole body has to be in the mikvah means is not that all of the waters of the mikvah have to touch your body, but all of your body has to be submerged within the water. All my body is submerged within the water. But there's a separate halakha, a zaitika halakha, a different thing. And that is that if I'm wrapped in an envelope, in a bag, I'm kula, there's a chatzitza, my whole body, okay, that's a problem. Rabbi Yisrael comes to tell us, even if it's roiv and makbid, that's also a problem in the Rabbanim, even roiv, ain't no makbid or miyot no makbid. But this is not because you're out of the mikvah. You are always in the mikvah, you're submerged within the mikvah. It's a separate halacha of chatzitza. So if that's the case, when we say, l'maisa, everything, the dust settles, and we say, miyot v'eino makbid, it's not a chatzitza, is that because the miyot of the chatzitza is bottled to your body, and therefore that becomes like an appendage to your body, and since the water is touching that, it's like it's touching your body? Or maybe no, maybe we just say, at that point, you're considered to be submerged within the mikvah, and not because the glove becomes part of your body, or not. No, the glove doesn't become part of your body, but since your body is submerged within the mikvah, that's enough. We thought it was enough even if it's Rive u'Makbid. It's only if it's Kuloi you're covered from head to toe, that even though you're submerged, it's still a problem. And Kamash Malan, no, the standard is a little bit higher than what we thought. We thought it has to be your whole body is covered, even if it's Rive and Makbid, Midraban and Rive Eino Makbid, Miyot ha-Makbid. It's still considered to be a problem, not because you're out of the mikvah, but because it's, even though you're submerged, being in the mikvah doesn't mean all the waters of the mikvah have to touch your body, but a separate halacha called chatzitza, and roiv v'eino makbid doesn't bother us because l'maisa roiv of your body is touching the water. What will the difference be? The difference comes up in the following situation. What about a person who has, we're going to discuss in a few minutes, a person has a bandage on his hand. The bandage is a miyot, let's assume it's a miyot v'eino makbid. He wants it there. And it's a miyot. Okay. Miyot v'eino makbid, midraisam, even midrabana, not a problem. Does the whole bandage have to be in the water, or just my hand? So if the pshat is in miyot v'eino makbid, is because the bandage becomes part of your body. And since the water is touching the bandage, that's considered to be your hand for all intents and purposes. So that's considered to be that the waters of the mikvah are touching every part of your body. I would have thought a chatzitza makes it like this part of your body is somewhere else. It's not in the mikvah. Kamash malan, if it's only a miyat and it's in a makbet, it's bottled to your body. This becomes an appendage to your body, like a prosthesis, you know. It becomes part of your body. And as long as that's in the mikvah, you're good. But then the entire bandage has to be in the mikvah. But if the pshat is no, the pshat is it's enough to be submerged within the waters of the mikvah. A separate problem if there's a chatzitza on your body that creates a disturbance. Not because it's out of the mikvah, but because a separate problem of chatzitza. Shouldn't be anything separating between you and the waters of the mikvah. But you're always in the mikvah. Being in the mikvah doesn't mean the waters of the mikvah touch you. Being in the mikvah means you're submerged within the mikvah. So if it's a miyad v'yeno makvah, that's not considered to be a disturbance. But that doesn't mean that the waters have to touch the entire bandage. The bandage was never part of my body. What is tefillah b'mikvah? Tefillah b'mikvah is defined as being submerged in the waters of the mikvah, not the waters of the mikvah touching every part of my body. Being submerged in the waters of the mikvah. I'm submerged in the waters of the mikvah. And Rosh Weiss discusses this exact shiloh. He claims dependent on this suffix, where Moshe is this suffix and Negros Moshe too. What's the pshat in miyot v'yeno makvin? Is it the pshat that because the chatzitza becomes part of your body, in which case the whole chatzitza is to be in the mikvah? Or is the pshat that tefillah b'mikvah is not that the waters touch every part of your body, but you'd be submerged in the waters of the mikvah? And if it's a miyot v'yeno makvin, a chatzitza is just a disturbance. But if it's a miyot v'yeno makvin, it doesn't disturb. But then the chatzitza doesn't have to be in the mikvah itself. The tefillah b'mikvah is being submerged in the waters of the mikvah. Okay, but what emerges is, Rabbi Yisai, that's an interesting hakiram, what would have been. Usually, havaminas don't mean too much. In our yeshiva, we don't spend too much time on havaminas. But in this situation, it happens to make a difference. Okay, but what emerges, Lamaisa? What emerges, Lamaisa, is that if you have a roiv umakbid, it's a chatzitza midaraisa, that's the lach l'mesh misinai. And if it's a roiv ve'eno makbid, or miut hamakbid, that's the rabbanon, miut v'eino makbid, minority, and you're not careful to remove it, is not a chatzitza at all. But a roiv of what? A miut of what? What do you mean of what? Your whole body. So the truth of the matter is, this issue is subject to a large debate between the Rambam and the Gaonim. Look over here at Ois Dalet, the Rambam writes, Perek Beis of Hilchos Mikvos, Halacha Tezvav. The Rambam first quotes from the Gaonim. The Gaonim say that we measure roiv and miut of the body separately from roiv and miut of the hair. Meaning, if you have roiv of your hair covered in a chatzitza, and that you are makbid to remove, or midrabanan, if you have roiv ve'eno makbid, or miut hamakbid in your hair alone, that's considered to be a roiv, even though it doesn't cover the roiv of the surface body of your body. Or if I have roiv of my body covered in something, even if I'm not makbid to remove it, even if you would include the surface area of my hair, it wouldn't be roiv. Roiv of the body is measured separately from roiv of the hair. Look over here in the Rambam. Shtei sa'aros ha'yoseh sha'ikshuin ka'achas kesher echad, two hairs that are tied in one knot, in and chaytzitzim and neshamayim ban ba'ed. Two hairs that are tied together, there's always some space in between, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. Sa'ara achas, one hair that's tied in like, you know, a knot. Shenik shura koitzetes, that's a chatzitza. V'hu shiyah makbid olav, that's a miyut ha-makbid, is also midrabanan. Avam eno makbid olay, it's a miyut v'eno makbid, also lo tefila. Achate roiv sa'ara kosher, but if roiv of your hair, this would be like, I don't know, every hair you have is tied in a knot. There's some hair do going on right now. As every hair that you have is tied in a knot, so that's roiv. Even if you're not makbid, but if you had achate roiv sa'ara kosher, name a name of bifnei asmo, then it's a problem. Even though it's not roiv of your body, it's roiv of your hair. Hair is measured separately from the body. But the Rambam says, the Yerali, Rambam believes that the two are not the same. Why should the hair be measured separately than the rest of the body? Roiv is measured by surface area of the body, not hair bifnei atzma and body bifnei atzma. K'dei shenoma roiv ha-seir. Even if every hair is tied up, It may no makbar alay, also loy tvila, it's still considered to be a miut. Or unless you have a miut on your body and a miut on your hair, you put the two together, now it's roiv. But we don't measure a roiv of the hair separately from roiv of the body. We don't assess and evaluate those two areas separately. Hair is part of the body. And therefore we assess them all together, whether it's roiv or not. And the Gaonim felt hair is measured, evaluated, assessed, roiv and miut of the hair, their own parasha, separate from the roiv and miut of the body. And if you have a roiv of the hair, that's considered rubai ve'eno makbid, or rubai makbid, and would be a chatzitza. Rashi seems to hold like the Gaonim. It's Rashi here, but it's also Rashi in Masechtas Erevin. Look at Tosis. Tosis writes over here, Vav Amabez in Masechtas Sukkah. Tosis says, Yesh Mefarshim, the top Tosis. The Hacha Ayri, Devar Torah Rubai, Umak Bidalov Chaitetz. This is Rabbi Yitzchak's edition. Rav and Makbid is Dairaisa, Rav Ve'ino Makbid Rabbanon, Miut Makbid Rabbanon. Yesh Mefarshim, the Hacha Ayri Beseyar. Ava Bebasar, Chaitetz Afilu Miut She'ino Makbid. Back to the Havamina, what we would have thought before Rabbi Yitzchak. Basar, Rabbi Yitzchak was never discussing Basar. Oh, Basar without the Rabbi Yitzchak. What do we think before Rabbi Yitzchak? The Tosfos Rosh told us at least one possibility. We thought even miut hamak, even miut the enomak, but gomayis to this part of the body is out of the water. Rabbi Yitzchak came to teach us, calm down. It's only roiv and makbid. But Rashi says Rabbi Yitzchak was only talking about hair. Hair, oh hair, you need a roiv and makbid. Basar, even miut the enomak, but is a chatzitza. That part of the body is out of the water. The kasha of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, no way. Rabbeinu Tam says, that can't be. Mehadar minim perka ariel, because what did the Gemara say? By the nachris, the Gentile woman who's pregnant who wants to convert. So the Gemara said, her son doesn't need tefillah. Why doesn't the son need tefillah? The Gemara said, what are you going to tell me? What are you going to tell me why the son doesn't need tefillah? The Gemara says, because of Rabbi Yitzchak. Because the mother is a roiv, but he's not makbid. And Rabbi Yitzchak holds roiv and not makbid is not a chatzitza. When is it a chatzitza? Only if it's roiv and makbid. How could the Gemara evoke Rabbi Yitzchak in that setting if Rabbi Yitzchak is only talking about what? If Rabbi Yitzchak is only talking about hair, but basar, we never touched basar, the havamina remains. What is basar? Miut and makbid is a chatzitza, or miut v'yeno makbid is a chatzitza, because the mice, if you have something on your part of your body, that's out of the mikvah. You have to put your whole body in the mikvah. If your pinky finger is sticking out, that's no good. So if you have a little glove on your pinky finger, that's a problem. When did Rabbi Yitzchak teach us roiv and makbid is that's the threshold, that's the standard, that's by hair, says Rashi. So he says, if that's the case, why is the Gemara quoting Rabbi Yitzchak by the fetus inside of his mother? That's not talking about hair, that's talking about the body of the fetus. Maybe you'll say to the Gemara, whoa, the fetus is not a problem. He's judged with the feel of his mother because it's only roiv and makbid. And here the child is not makbid to remove the mother. And then the Gemara said, no, the kulo is different. That's always a problem. Why is the Gemara bringing it up in that setting? Look at Tosis. Tosis says, v'kashu l'beinu tam. V'hadar minim perik ha'arel nachris muberish nizgari benoin etzarach tefilo parik. Amai. Why doesn't he need his own tefilo? V'chitev mishum de Rabbi Yitzchak. Hamarav kahanu l'oshanu ela. Ruba Bakulo Khaitz Vahashta says Tais, I could have asked better. Adiva Avalay Lakshuy, the Babasa, if you will mashu, if you want to mark with Khaitz, when is Rabbi Yitzchak talking about? It's only by Seah. So it can't be that's what Rashi meant. It can't be that Rashi ever meant that the only time Rabbi Yitzchak taught us this halacha, or with Rabbi Yitzchak only taught us this halacha of Roiv and Makbid being the standard, is by hair. Basar, even if it's Miut Vieno Makbid, remains a Chatzitza. That can't be. Can't be. You see, even the Gemara Nivamas can't be. What then is the Pshat in Rashi? So look at the Ritva over here. Oizvav. Rise the Ritva. V'had the Pirish Rashi. Rubai. Raiv Seiroi. Yei Shinir Alam. There are those who made a mistake in interpreting Rashi. Because Rashi says Rubai. Raiv Saroi. Our Rashi here says the same thing. Look at Rashi. Top line. Rubai. Raiv Saroi. Why does Rashi add hair? If it applies, if Yitzchak applies to basar too, why does he only say, hey, give the example of hair? So, yesh nir lam, sherot zalom, arvafil begufay, ein dikdukin elu, arvafil miuto she'eno makbid chaytzeis. Tosfos, he's referring to Tosfos. Tosfos made assumption within Rashi that Rabbi Yitzchak was only talking about hair, basar, your flesh of your body, even a miyut, v'eino makbet as a chatzitza. Val nira shaloi neskabin Rashi lekach, says the Ritva, Rashi never meant that, it's against the Gemara Nivamas. Elala shmuinan, he came to teach us what? Like the ga'inim. Rashi holds like the ga'inim. Hair is measured separately, and basar is measured separately. Of course, Rabbi Yitzchak is discussing both. A chatzitza midorais is only roiv u'makbid, midorabanan miyut ha'makbid, or roiv v'eino makbid. But either way, Rashi is teaching us hair is measured separately from the rest of the body, not together with the rest of the body. Hair is measured separately, and the body is measured separately. Aval nir shlon is kavin Rashi l'kach. El ha'shminin l'besaru bovad misharin v'roiv u'miyat, v'ein tzarech l'shayar v'roiv ha'guf. V'asar gu'kedas ha'goinim. Rashi holds like the goinim. Hair is measured separately from the guf of the body. But the problem is that the Rambam's shita makes more sense. Again, let's not get lost over here. Let's say you always have to be rooted in the psukim. We started with the pasuk, v'rochas es b'sara b'mayim. So we said you can't have a chatzitza between yourself and the waters of the mikvah. So Gemara said, what's that lachol moishim sinai coming to teach me above and beyond the pasuk? It's not a lachol moishim sinai. It's a pasuk. So Gemara said, no, it's coming to teach me hair. The Gemara said, no, hair is also a pasuk. V'rochas es b'sara es hatafel b'sara. Even your hair. That which is negligible to the body also requires tefillah. So the Rambam says, fine, now the hair is part of the body. Shouldn't we assess roiv and miyut of the hair together with the body? And roiv of the hair is not considered to be roiv of the body. It's roiv of the hair, but right now roiv of the body, and roiv of the hair is not wouldn't be a problem. How could the Gaonim say we measure the hair and the body separately? So Briskerov has a very well-known explanation in his Sefer on the Rambam. He gave it to you over here, the crux of it over here, Eisches. But the Brisker Rav explains that in general, throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, hair is not the same as the body. There are certain times that hair is included in the body. Sometimes not. We don't have the time to make a survey of Kol HaTorah Kula. Is hair part of the body? Is it not part of the body? But suffice it to say, it's not always considered to be part of the body. Sometimes it is. Definitely sometimes it's not. So Brisker Rav claims that we have here a machlekes between the Ga'anim and the Rambam. How to interpret this pasuk as hatafel l'besarai? To include hair, the requirement for tefillah, and that you not have a chatzitza in your hair. When you go to the mikvah, you have to make sure, for most of us, it's not a problem. You go Erev Yom Kippur, you don't have long hair. But for the women, it's a bigger issue. The hair all has to be submerged within the mikvah. It's one of the jobs of the mikvah lady to make sure all the hair is underneath the mikvah. Hair has to go in the mikvah, and you can't have a chatzitza in the hair. What does that mean? So the Rambam understood what that means is hair is part of the body, vis-a-vis chiyuvei tefillah, and therefore it has to be in the mikvah, and we assess, and when we're assessing roiv for chatzitza, roiv v'eino makbid derabanan, roiv u'makbid deraisa, the hair is part of the body. We assess them all together. The Ga'anim said that's probably, they argue, no, that's not what es hatafel l'besarai, to include your hair, comes to teach us, because hair is not really part of the body, it's a separate entity. What the pasuk is coming to teach us is just like you need tefillah on your body, you need tefillah on your hair. But ein achinami, just like kol haTorah kula, sometimes hair is not part of the body. Here too, hair is not part of the body. The Gemara never meant to say hair is part of the body. What did the Gemara mean to say? Just like you need tefillah on your body, you need tefillah on your hair. But they remain separate entities. And therefore, when assessing roiv and miut, we assess the hair separately from the body. Look at inside. The garinim sphere with the apagav the seraton bias mayim, the din bias mayim shalom chadhu, im din bias mayim shalom aguf. Even though it requires it has to entry into the mikvah, and you can't have a chatzitza just like the body, aval mikol makom eino kagufoi. Rak shnei guvim mechulakim hein leinin etzim chalois maisa bias mayim kamal leinin kol Torah kula. It's like kol Torah kula. Hair and body are separate, and therefore we assess roiv and miut separately. And it's really, that's how oftentimes when a suggestion of the Achreinim is quite compelling, you can usually find it in the Rishayim already as well. And this Vart from the Brisker Rav, if you're reading carefully and astutely, was really what the Ran writes in Masechta Zeirin. Look over here, Ozayin, the Ran explains the Sheet of the Goinim. The cave on the Islan Trey Kroy, Chad the Saaroi, the Chad the Besaroi, since there's one pasuk, one for your hair, one for your body, Verachas es kol Besaroi, Besaroi is one, es kol Besaroi, that comes to include your hair, kol Chad Vechad, Ba'ape Navshe, Veroi Besaroi, Oroi Saaroi. Either one, each one is separate, because they're learned out of two psukim in the Torah. The same argument as the brisker up, it makes it a little bit sharper, puts perhaps a little bit in better context. But the reason why the guy didn't feel the two are assessed separately is because they're really two separate halachas. There's a similarity. You need, both need to go into the mikvah, and both can't have a chatzitza, but hair and body are separate, just like we find in many halachas in Kol Torah Kula, hair and body are not considered to be one entity. Here too. And the Rambam disagreed. The Rambam understood, once hair is included for chiyuvei tefillah, and you can't have a chatzitza, that's coming to teach us hair is part of the body. And therefore, when assessing roiv, we assess roiv, not roiv of the hair independently, but roiv of the hair together with the body, yeah.
Are braids considered to be a chatzitza? Like you have to unbraid the hair?
Of course you have to unbraid the hair, yeah. Even though three hairs is not really a chatzitza together, because water can get in, so maybe with the yevit it wouldn't be a problem, but oftentimes when you're making these fancy hairs, I don't have a tremendous bikias in this. I've done it for my daughters, you know, over the years. But oftentimes their hair gets knotted anyway. You know what I mean? Like, so most women comb out their hair just to make sure that they don't have any knots before going to the mikvah. Certainly not to go and braid. So. Yeah, that's the standard pshat in the Gaonim. However, the Meiri, the Maseches Erevin, which we mentioned yesterday, the Meiri and Erevin being a very rich, one of the Rishonim of Maseches Erevin, there's a lot to be found there. So the Meiri writes Maseches Erevin and Avdala, a different pshat than the Gaonim. Not that hair is measured separately from the body. Yes, it's true, Brisker Rav says, good argument. Sometimes hair is not the same as the body. Maybe here too, hair is different. It's just a distinct entity. Both is share in common. They need tefillah in the mikvah. But it doesn't mean to say that they're all one. No, no. The Meiri is a different pshat than the Gaonim. The Gaonim never meant to say hair is separate. What the Gaonim meant to say is we measure every part of the body separately. How do we assess roiv? Does it mean roiv of my finger? Does it mean roiv of my hand? Does it mean roiv of my body? Who's to say it's roiv of the body all at once? Maybe it means roiv of every aver ve'aver. How do we assess roiv? So the Gaonim are not arguing that hair is distinct from the body. The Gaonim are arguing roiv means roiv, not of the entire body all at once, but roiv of any avers. Already roiv? Look at the Meiri. Meiri says in the second line, in the third line, Kach katsva Gaonim, v'shehem mefarshim roiv, roiv saroi, v'chein v'shar mekaimois, roiv ha'aver. Roiv ha'aver. So what if you have your finger, I don't know, one of these henna, you know, you go with the, and the hands are all yellow. So that's the hand, is part of the, is its own aver. That's called roiv. That's called roiv. Wow. That's its, that's Meiri's pshat in the garden. It doesn't mean hair. Hair is like, hair is just an example of every aver in the body that we assess it independently. Finger, hands, maybe feet, maybe knees. Where do you stop? Does it mean pinky versus pointer finger? Or does it mean hand? Does it mean arm? Or maybe just elbow? I mean, where does it stop? So Sackler suggests, most people they assume that this Meiri is like, you know, a wild shita. If Sackler suggests that perhaps they're actually choshish for this Meiri, because it's a difficult Ramah. Ramah writes in Uchas Chatzitza and Yeridea, assuming Kuf Tzadiches, Sif Aleph. Shulchan Aruch quotes the general rules. That roiv and makbid is deraisa, roiv v'eino makbid, miut hamakbid is the rabbanon. But what did we say is mutter, is not a chatzitza at all? Miut v'eino makbid. The Gemara asks, why not ask for that? It might lead to roiv v'eino makbid or miut hamakbid. The Gemara says, that's exera l'exera. That's too far. We can't justify that. But look at the Ramah. The Ramah says at the end of the second line, u'lechatchila loy titvo afilu bedvarm she'enam chaytetzim, gzera atu dvarm chaytetzim. A woman, when she goes to the mikvah, should have no chatzitzas at all. No chatzitzas at all. No nail polish anywhere. No little pen marks anywhere. No chatzitzas at all. Why? That's too much. That's gzeira l'gzeira. Gemara asked that. The Gemara says gzeira l'gzeira. So the Taz asked in the Ramah, how can you start whipping out these kulas? I mean, these chumras. No chatzitza at all. That's gzeira l'gzeira. So the Taz explains that it's not gzeira l'gzeira because the Ramah never meant this as an enforceable halacha. The Ramah meant this as an Eitzah Taiva. A Chumrah. But Ein Achinami, this is not normative halacha. It's a Chumrah. Maybe it's now become normative halacha because we've accepted the Chumrah, but it's not binding in the sense of like a regular Yisid Rabbanon. This is a Chumrah, Benois Yisrael. However, Shechter suggested brilliantly that perhaps the Ramah is concerned for the Meiri. Perhaps he's concerned for the Gaonim. And the Meiri's interpretation of the Gaonim that we never know roiv of what. So maybe roiv of your elbow. Maybe if you have roiv of this part of the finger, already that's roiv. Who's to know what's roiv? Roiv of what? If we're going to assess every aver separately, so now roiv becomes a very slippery slope. We don't know roiv of what. So what is a miut, part of the body, might be, you know, of the entire body, might be a roiv of a specific aver. And if the Gaonim don't mean that we assess hair separately, because hair in Kol Torah Kula is usually different than the body, like the Bais Kerav told us, if they mean hair is an example of a varm of the body we assess independently, every aver, maybe roiv of your ear, is a chatzitza. And now all of a sudden, the gedarim of what's considered to be a chatzitza are confused. And therefore, the Ramah said, in order to avoid any problems, don't have a chatzitza anywhere. I don't know if that's really the pshat in the Ramah. The Ramah has sources, and that's not what the sources indicate. But perhaps it's an additional justification for the Ramah, even if that's not what he meant, that it perhaps could justify his ruling to be chayshish even for small chatzitzas. But Lamai said that is the practice. Chayshish even for little chatzitzas, women, and before they go to the mikvah, try and remove all chatzitzas. So we discussed what's considered roiv. Roiv of the hair separately, roiv together with the whole body, maybe roiv of every aver. What's called makbid, though? Again, we said, in order to be a chatzitza midoraita, it's roiv of makbid, midorabanan, miot ha-makbid, or roiv ve'eno makbid. We discussed what's roiv. What's called makbid? So look at the Shulchan Aruch over there, Ois Yud. The Shulchan Aruch says, whether you're makbid, it's actually a machlok as we shine in the Rambam and the Rajwa, the Shulchan Aruch is makbid for both. Either the Rajva says most people are makbid, the Rambam says if you're makbid. So Shulchan Aruch is makbid for both. If either you are makbid to remove this item, usually you're not going to be makbid now because you want to go to the mikvah. But you say usually you're makbid to remove such a thing, or most people will usually be makbid even if you are not. We say, but l'daita etzodas kol b'nei adam, most people will be makbid, even if you are not, or you are, even if most people aren't, that's considered to be a chatzitza. However, the pischei tshuva, right over here, sifka na'alf, that's why rings, by the way, are usually considered to be a chatzitza, both for tefillah as well as for netilas yadayim, because that's considered to be a miut ha-makbid. No one's chayshish, that's roiv of your finger. But it's a miut that you're makbid. When are you ever makbid to remove your rings? The Shulchan Aruch quotes later in Hilchos Chatzitza, women are makbid to remove their rings when they need dough. So since when they need dough, and they're makbid to remove it, so sometimes you are makbid to remove it, most women are, so then it's a chatzitza for Netilas Yadayim, it's a chatzitza for tefillah in the mikvah too. That's considered to be makbid. Most women would remove it. It doesn't have to be they remove it all the time. Remove it for any specific activity, that's called makbid. Some poskim have suggested nowadays women do not remove their rings. And by the way, this is not, it's not like we assess Jewish women separately from the general population. If most women do not remove their rings when they need dough, you'll say most women don't need dough in our times. Good argument. But when they do need dough, do they remove their rings? So some have argued nowadays women do not remove their rings when they need dough. If that's the case, so then it wouldn't be a chatzitza of a netilas yadayim either. But it's generally assumed that women do remove their rings when they need dough, and therefore it would be a chatzitza. What about a man? A man who wears a ring, a wedding band, or some other male ring. So would it be a chatzitza for him, for netilas yadayim? So I've seen men remove their rings before they wash netilas yadayim. The Mishnah Berurah says it's not necessary, because men don't need dough, generally. So therefore, Mishnah Berurah says there's no reason for the man to remove his rings, because for him it's never a chatzitza. It's for the women who need the dough. Mishnah Berurah says more likely to need dough. So then she would remove her ring when she needs dough. Therefore, she has to be considered a chatzitza for netilas yadayim for tefillah in the mikvah. Yeah.
Do many remove the rings for tefillah at all?
Ah, the there is chatzitza for tefillin.
People.
The whole separate issue. The chatzitza, okay. Most try not to wind tefillin around any of the watch. We remove our watch.
Remove your chedera. But I've never seen people remove their ring though.
Are they tying it around? The ring finger is over here. It depends if you're Ashkenaz or Sfarad. Right?
It goes around the middle finger, though, which is close to at least it could.
If you're Ashkenaz, you go. It's fine. Right? Yeah.
Would there be any issue with contact lenses or close your eyes anyway?
Kind of the whole thing. Every issue in chatzitza, but there's liquid in between. But women do remove contact lenses. Yeah, sure. Sure, of course they do. So the Pesachei Tshuva writes over here, a big kula, and the name of this Tshuva is Zichron Yosef, which comes up often. The Mikom Makom, look over here, Pesachei Tshuva. She calls it the Mikom Makom, but Inan, Davka Shemak, Peres, Le'itim, Mizumanois. Has to be something that she plans on removing at different intervals. Koisha shekasev ataz, the tabaz mudekas be'etzba chayetzet, mishum de misiras u b'shas lisha. She removes it at a time that she's kneading the dough. Derei mikla la'isa lalosh kama parmim hayoim omakar misirasai. Whenever, if she kneads the dough today, she'll have to remove it. She needs it tomorrow, she'll have to remove it. Avam enemak peres rak pamachas lezman beru baloi. Let's say she says, I'm not going to remove it now for any reason. But in a year from now, I might remove it. In 6 months from now, I might remove it. In 2 weeks, I might remove it. Where could you have such a thing? I give you an example all the time. Temporary fillings in the mouth. Or stitches. Or a cast. She's not removing it now for any reason. But she will remove it later. So is that a chatzitza? Says a Zichron Yosef, no. Because you're not removing it lezman meruba. Well, what's called zman meruba? 7 days, 30 days, 6 months, a year. Different places can say different things. Where Moshe says what I think is the most compelling argument, and that is, there's no shear. What it means is that you can knead dough at any minute. I can knead, if a woman would knead dough now, she would remove her rings. Maybe you'll tell me nowadays women don't remove rings. Good argument, we could investigate it separately. But if women do remove their rings at any time she needs dough, she's going to remove her ring. But now, the filling, you don't want to remove it. If a woman has a filling, she'd love to have removed now because it's killing her, but the dentist doesn't have time to schedule her in. That's a separate issue. But if she wants the filling, the temporary filling in, not because the dentist ran out of time doing the root canal, so he just covers it over with something. That might be a greater issue. But if, let's say, it's not a temporary filling which is meant to come out right now. It's something that she plans to leave for a week or 2 weeks. Whatever it is, it's not like she wants the stitches out right now. She just can't get to the emergency room to get them removed or go back to the doctor. She wants them in now. Or cast, she wants it on now. So then perhaps it would not be considered a chatzitza because she's not removing it now for any reason. No matter how long down the road you plan on having it removed, right now you don't plan on removing it for any reason. That's different than kneading the dough. Kneading the dough could happen at any moment. If she needs dough, she's going to remove her rings. Therefore, it's a chatzitza. Here, since you plan on leaving it on now, particularly if you need it for health purposes, it might be considered hainu rebise, if you remember that svar we brought up, by the child inside of its mother. It needs to be there for health reasons, or maybe it's natural to be there. So then here too, perhaps you could apply a similar argument. Since you need the cast, you need the stitches, in order to make your body whole, hainu rebise, perhaps it wouldn't be considered to be a chatzitza. That's the svar of the Zichron Yosef. Not all the Afarim are thrilled about the kula of the Zichron Yosef, but that's the kula that exists, which is since you don't plan to remove it for a long time, it's different than kneading dough, which you also don't plan on doing for a long time, because if you would knead dough now, you would remove your rings. This you would never remove it now for any reason. So therefore, perhaps it's it would not be considered to be a chatzitza. It does say in the Shulchan Aruch, though, look over here, Oisir Aleph, a bandage is considered to be a chatzitza. Retia shalamaka chotzetzes. Why is retia shalamaka chotzetzes? A bandage. I thought we just got through saying that a cast, the stitches, all these. So the Ksav Sofer says that's different. The Ksav Sofer, the son of the Ksav Sofer, says that's different. Well, a band-aid you remove all the time. Remove every day, you remove a band-aid. And people are constantly checking underneath. My kids always put on a band-aid 2 seconds later. I have to see what's happening. And I'll pick it up, see what's happening. Pick it up, see what's happening. You don't leave it like a cast for a significant period of time untouched. People are always checking underneath, always changing the bandages. But if it would be something you're going to leave for some period of time, then perhaps it would not be in chatzitza. But the question I get all the time, Rabbi Say, is, yeah, but this it doesn't come up a lot. I mean, it comes up, but not as much as you would think. Because oftentimes, if you have a wound that needs stitches, you can't put it in the mikvah. See, it doesn't mean, but if you have, let's say, stitches on your hand, woman slices her hand while she's chopping vegetables, right? So she gets stitches to seal it up. Fine. So we tell her the stitches are not a chatzitza. Why not? Because you don't plan on removing them for 2 weeks. They might even dissolve where they are, which is even better. You never plan on removing it. Great. The problem is that you still can't leave your hand out of the mikveh. We said you can't even leave a pinky finger out of the mikveh. You certainly can't leave your whole hand. A woman has a plaster cast on her hand. Leilenu, right? Breaks it. You can't leave your hand out of the mikveh. And if you put it in the mikveh, the whole thing will dissolve. So even if we tell you the plaster cast is not a mikveh, the stitches are not a chatzitza, the stitches are not a chatzitza, doesn't always help. Because you still have to put it in the water. And the waters of the mikveh are chlorine and the germs and this and that. And you talk to the doctor, no matter, even though the woman's mikvehs are much cleaner than the men's mikvehs on every Yom Kippur. But Lamaisa, I feel like I get sick every year from going to the mikveh. I don't know, maybe it's just a germaphobe. Whatever, something's going on over there. Anyway, the woman's mikveh are much cleaner. But Lamaisa is to put it inside of a pool, you know, when you're concerned about infections, which is one of the reasons they do stitches in the first place. Is not really the smartest thing to do. Or a cast, you'd have to have a waterproof cast. I'm not up to date in the new types of casts, but if you could put the cast in, a waterproof cast, okay. But if you can't put it in, it's going to dissolve, so then we haven't really helped too much. It really comes up with regards to the fillings and implants and all these type of things, that even though it's a temporary filling, it's not considered to be a chatzitza because you plan on leaving it there for some period of time. Okay, Shkai.
You do that. What do you tell them?